DJ Rehabilitation.
DJ Rehab. I think there was a band called Rehab, and they sang one song that used to play at the bar I bartended at, or bounced at all the time.
When you and I were dating?
Yeah. Oh. Hey, with that said, we are back, and I know you heard a semi-familiar voice. It's been a while. Mr. Michael Schilling.
What's up, everybody? We're back.
Of Zmam.
Zman
and Dead Nightmare fame.
Dead Nightmare, and we're still rocking these days.
And, well, allegedly a serialized reoccurring YouTube zombie show. Yeah. Allegedly,
whenever that director creator guy decides to actually write the material.
And yeah, he is a slacker.
You should probably yell at him.
This has been a slow year, man. I have no excuses, but the good news is I got so much stuff now that we're ready to shoot almost back-to-back episodes.
You should yell at your producer for not keeping a tighter ship.
Is that me? I think it's me,
think
too.
You're all
hey, Schilling, get the fuck together.
You're a man of many hats.
And, of course, that other voice you hear would be the Flop.
Hey.
And if you hear some extra voices in the background, some ambient noise, we have returned to the original home away from home. We're at Shamrocks today on a Sunday, on a football Sunday, but no football will be in the conversation except for this.
Just now.
My 49ers are 6-0 in the year,
you're
and I'm very excited.
It.
That's it.
You're done.
That's it. I'm done. That's all I got. That's all I wanted to say.
Just throwing out there.
We are here today. Of course, we have Mike every year this time of year for Halloween. So this is our Halloween episode.
This is what I do, man.
I feel like you're the spooky guru.
We have actually had him on in non-Halloween times. Like the last time he came on was to talk about the release of the probably, without a doubt, the best episode of Dead Nightmare ever.
Well, you guys were in it, so...
Oh, I forgot about that. That's
but
why
I was
so
good.
I will
say, in all honesty, when I put it all together, I catered to episode 6 more just because I think I like the story, what was going on, a little more sinister style. But I've heard others say that they like episode 5 better, where they're in the woods and the stalker zombies kind of coming out.
No, yeah, that's a good one.
Anyways,
that is a good one. No, that's a little more, in terms of what you're trying to accomplish, that's a little scarier.
This is true.
And so,
and there's more of that coming in the next one. So.
Oh, yeah, you got to get back to that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've told you this before. My only fear about your show is that you've opened up the book to a lot of characters.
Too much.
So it's a lot to... But you know what? The good thing is there's no rules. There's no network. There's nothing. It's your story. So you can guide it to wherever you need to.
Absolutely. And that's a tough thing. You know, when you're trying to guide the whole story and the show and everything, you got to keep the pace. And if I'm not keeping pace... Nobody else is going to get me on it, except for maybe an actor that might be, hey, dude, aren't we supposed to film, like, sometime this year?
Before. Mike, since we last recorded or made a show, I lost my arm in a car wreck, so I don't know what you're going to do.
Well, I got one guy, he's like, yeah, man, I grew my hair out, like, big time. I hope it's not a problem. I'm like, dude, at this point, we're just going to work it out. So.
Oh, man, we'll put you in a pony. You can always say... Months have passed.
Several months later. Dun-dun.
Only if you use the same voice from SpongeBob. 20 months later.
Later. I don't know. It might mess with the mood a little bit. The tone. I don't know if it's right.
So I guess the only update, I mean, we always like talking about Dead Nightmare. And go to YouTube and check it out. Follow him. What is your, what's...
That's deadnightmare.com.
And then on
YouTube. I believe, if you look up, see here, it's Zmam Show.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. Yep. And you can look that up. And now on... Is that on, or do you have a Instagram for that yet? Or
I have Instagram too, and actually I just put up Zmam, and that's with an MAM, by the way, Productions, which I'm just starting to put photos on there. I figured.
I saw that was new. But you can find it all through deadnightmare.com.
It's all out there. Yeah. Yes, I even have links to the Instagram, Facebook, all that fun stuff.
So that aside, one of the things we talked about. Unless you had something real quick.
With the Dead Nightmare, I'll just say that we are going to plan on filming in November. So that will be episode 7. We're going back to this farm area where basically our original friends, Dustin and, the whole crew with Shannon and James and all those guys. And remember Mike, the guy who's been bitten.
Yeah.
They're on the run. And they're on the run because...
The original story.
Yes.
Yeah, the original
and now
story.
They know the stalker. Well, actually, so these would have been the second
story,
episode 5.
Yeah, the second story.
So
they
know the stalker's after him and they're pretty much hosed. Shannon has got a problem. And they have to pretty much stop, and it's gonna unfold from there, and it's gonna get crazy.
Ooh. Women,
I know, right?
Always causing problems.
And you know what? I've been thinking about that a little bit because, and I don't want to offend anybody on the show, but the whole woke nation stuff, like including more women, including more this or that, which I try to do wherever I can. I'm just
no, just Just tell a good story.
Wait a second. You're including a woman, but she's causing problems?
No. Well, it's more like there happens to be a woman in the show, and she just happens to have a problem.
It sounds to me like art reflecting life.
You know, but I agree with you on, Jeremy. If it fits, if it makes sense, then I'm going to do it. And if it doesn't make sense, then I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. So you mean if you're going to reflect life, the woman's problem is a man?
Well, we'll take that. The guy's always the problem in the background. I mean,
we'll take that.
They can't work their shit out. But anyways, back to it. But yeah, there is stuff coming, and also this location.
Yeah, spoiler alert. One of the reasons we're here, if he gets here, he did forget about us today, but if he gets here.
I just envision him running in here.
Kyle, we're going to hopefully have an episode filmed here in Shamrocks on location.
Yeah.
How many drunk zombies are there going to be?
Oh, God. I hope not many, because that just makes life...
No, like, that's the shtick for the...
Kyle did say originally that he would do it after hours, so it'll be less... Only people that'll be here will be employees and any other people that you
need. And there's always logistics, no matter what. I mean, it may seem like, hey, it's a simple thing, we'll just show it. You got to know, okay, are there going to be patrons that are going to stay up here afterwards? You know, do we need to get them updated before we go? So... You know, I got to get a little bit of video of this outlay just to make sure I remember in my story.
That makes sense.
It works out.
You got to go take your B-roll footage of the...
Because originally I wrote something where you know you're in this episode.
I didn't know it.
Oh, yeah. You guys.
How do we know? It's in your head, dude.
Well, this is a good
point.
We
haven't seen the script.
I guess I haven't released anything yet. But yeah, you, John, and Tom are actually in there. And we can work Missy in, too.
Now, is it...
Only if they're, like, chopping me up in the back.
I will ask
like,
this.
No, you're going to stay alive.
Without giving up too much plot... Is it a flashback or
it's a flashback?
Okay, so Tom will in fact have his ear.
Yes, he'll have his ear.
Oh, thank
and
goodness.
Furthermore, for those who are really close to details, so Tom was a news reporter in the previous one, and he will be still in this one as well.
Oh,
he's making
awesome.
A guest appearance.
So that Tom is, we're going to follow that plot line that he's the same guy.
And you guys are actually casting your podcast.
More gray, do we have to dye his hair to make him look
this
younger?
Well, this is true. You know what? I'm not going that far. People want to get that crazy. Hey, you know.
We'll get him some brushed in just for men. That's not
Toss
much
a couple
much
grand in donations and tell you, we'll get whatever you want.
And then he can go home and Kelly can pretend he's a totally different man.
Absolutely. But anyways, the point is, we have a lot of content ready to film. Yes, obviously, it's going to be a lot of time editing, you know, but that's what the winter's for. It's going to be quiet.
Right.
I'm going to get some downtime.
Yeah, I mean.
Haven't you had all year to have downtime?
Okay,
no, just
listen,
Bob,
okay.
Who are we to bitch?
You're upsetting the guests.
No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm
right,
giving
though.
You a hard time.
No, you were right, though. Yeah, I took too much time.
And
who
are we
but
to
you
complain?
You actually have a life, so...
We went from once a week podcast to about once every 10 to 12 days because of stuff right now. And the winter will help. The winter will help the podcast, too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's probably a smart way to do it. You almost film as much as you can... And then edit it together.
And just go get your stuff going.
Then put it together,
I've also been thinking about, too, like, because we always try to get all this content, and then we try to, you know, release it with a nice chunk, right? So you have 30, 45 minutes of material. For those who really love the show, they're going to watch it. And those who might want to tune in, they may watch it. But that's the thing. I'm wondering, should I just maybe release short little, like, maybe 10 to 15-minute segments?
That is kind of what you originally started.
It did.
And that probably will allow you to do more.
You're probably right.
Like, take your... 2 hours of whatever you're going to film over the next and break it up into like 12, 13, 14 weeks.
Yeah. We can do that.
That's smart.
It is, and it gives me time. It doesn't make me have to rush and, you know, because you're trying to find music, you're trying to find the sound effects and all that.
Well, and if anything, and with YouTube and podcasts and all that stuff, they say adhering to a schedule is the best way to build your audience.
Good point. And so, I other than my Walking Dead, because that's every Sunday night, I'll immediately record after that. But other than that, I'm very spotty, and that's... I know that's my downfall, but again, the life thing, my two boys, my wife.
So,
oh, Lord.
it's good segue there. Let's always go out, check out Dead Nightmare and Zaman Productions and all that
Please.
Stuff. But you did segue into something. Now, I do not want you to go into detail because we are so behind because of our
oldest. We haven't watched one episode
of
this season.
Because of our oldest daughter has been so busy with volleyball and stuff that we haven't really got to, and she loves it.
Okay.
So far, two episodes, third episode tonight into the season.
Two episodes in.
Are you happy?
I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm going to warn you. If you don't like the whispers...
Oh, I like the whispers.
Then you're probably not going to want to continue with the show. But I like the whispers. They're creepy. That's Samantha Morton who plays
Alpha. Yeah, she does a good job.
She's doing great. They get to show you, without spoilers, but you're going to get a little more backstory. I don't think that's a spoiler.
No.
Just saying.
No.
But you're going to get some understanding between her and Beta.
Yeah, Beta.
And that dude's just menacing anyways.
And he come from...
Remember the Titans.
And son, oh, yeah, he was.
Sons of Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
He was so young then.
Yeah. Also, I had to look it up. I was like, who is
good call.
And then he was on an FX show where they were like hill people or something. I can't remember the name.
Probably.
No, like recently, like last year before he this. Like, and it's
that
still,
is his
I think,
look
going.
Right now with the long hair.
And he's got
and
a massive beard.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's his look.
I'll say this, though. It was the biggest downfall in ratings they've ever had. The lowest.
The intro or the
lowest premiere of all time.
Yikes.
Was the premiere good to you? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed
the premiere?
It overall. Yeah. I gave it a very solid. I gave it a 9.5, but I ended up just doing 9 out of 10.
There is a trackable decline in ratings with every character that has died.
Mm-hmm.
And when Rick died, it quote-unquote died. It jumped off.
Disappeared.
Yeah, it jumped
off.
Well,
get ready then, because, I mean, if you don't know this by now, everybody...
We don't know anything.
I think everybody knows that Michonne is leaving the show. Like, she's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Maggie's coming back.
Yeah,
Maggie's
she made back. Her so entrance like, to one of the Comic Cons.
So it's like a
recently,
one-to-one type thing. So it's going to be very interesting. But, you know, I think, honestly, haters going to hate. Nobody likes to see anybody on top for too long. Even Game of Thrones, look how that ended out, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was poor writing.
Well, this is very true.
Poor writing.
But
yeah.
That's the difference, I think, between Walking Dead, though, and Fear of the Walking Dead. Fear of the Walking Dead, and I'm you guys probably aren't even watching that, season 5 was
I heard it was their best one, yeah.
Are you being facetious?
Or was it? Oh, well, no. Oh, 5 was bad.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so 4 was the best one then.
No.
3 or 4, 3. They said it really.
Haven't even watched it since the first season.
It went up to peak, and then 4 just went right down.
And then they got weird stuff going on, too.
They do. And then when they brought Morgan over, it's like you lost what your show was made of. It was made about the Madison and the Clark family, or excuse me, Madison Clark and her middle class family trying to survive the apocalypse. And anyways, not to get on the board.
I'll tell you what
took it a whole.
I'll tell
direction.
You what turned me off, even though I know it got better after. But what turned me off is the premise that what we were pitched was this is the zombie apocalypse at the very beginning. And it just felt so rushed.
They really rushed.
And then it just became West Coast Walking Dead.
Yep.
Do you think that they did that? Do you think that they brought Morgan in to save the show, and that's why they rushed it?
I think so. I think they did that rush in time so that Morgan could actually exist in their time frame. But the problem with Morgan is they've taken him on this journey of ups and downs and ups and downs. It's not like I don't like the character, but he
got to be too much for me on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
When they first brought him in, he was crazy, and then he became kind of a pacifist. That was a good story.
Right.
But then it was like...
So then he left the people because he didn't want to deal with people, but then he finds people, Alicia and all the people. So it's interesting. But, you know, Alicia, I forget her name, oh, good Lord. But either way, she's the Clark daughter, the main one.
Oh, yeah.
But she is a great actress, and she could have been a potential front runner. But instead, she's overshadowed now by Morgan and White coming in.
So here's the thing. They could, as a show... have two front runners, a male and a female, but I guess they don't choose to do that.
Well, because at this point right now, Alicia, she's doing the whole pacifist. She's painting trees and stuff, and and this is a time where things are getting very serious. Now, I will admit, by the end of season 5, stakes are at their highest. So there's a new group came in. She's very, Negan would put her to shame, but all the same, it's a little rough. But what I like is that The Walking Dead, I felt straight out of the gates, which is what we were talking about there. I felt the premiere was solid. They were getting in a whole lot of character time from all different groups of people, but it didn't feel like it felt like it flowed. Like everybody's getting some time, and you felt good.
Now, I'll be honest, last season's ratings were very bad, but I enjoyed the hell out of the fuck. The penultimate episode last year was great. The final episode I thought was a lacking because they flash forward.
They were in the snow, right?
And it didn't they didn't really clarify the timeline.
No, they didn't.
They never clarified the timeline.
And also, what I didn't like about that episode, the very end, they show Alpha in a very warm type climate, chilling.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. So I'm like, wait a minute, are we okay? So are they just further south? But I'm like, well, wait, they're already south. So what are you? Yeah. What are you in the Keys or something?
Yeah.
It didn't quite make sense.
It was the Panhandle.
That episode felt a little disjointed, but the one before the where everybody died, that was big. That was bad.
That was such. I mean, when I started seeing like one by one, I was just. My
that
mind
should have been a season ender.
Ender, agreed.
And that's what it felt like. That felt like Lord of the Rings. That was the big ending, then there was more after.
That was
poor Tara just getting the quick send off.
Wait a second. So of all the deaths in that whole series that we've seen, where would you rank that?
Oh, like,
oh, those,
oh,
deaths,
mean, like Negan and bashing the heads of, like...
Yeah. Like, which one was most impactful? That was pretty big, that one, because...
I gotta admit, that Negan one, I just didn't see it coming. I didn't think they would go that far.
See, that was hard for me because it was in the comic.
Okay. And I don't read the comics,
The extra death was a surprise.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. That one, yeah, I don't know.
I was definitely surprised, but...
Well, like, Herschel's death.
This is true.
I mean, that was a big one.
Governor,
like,
right?
Yeah, and he chopped his head off, right? Yeah.
You're right.
Good.
There's been a ton of...
Yeah, I mean...
It's hard to say, what are we on, season 11? It's hard to say what death is impactful because you forget. And the most recent's always fresh in your mind.
Or like Andrea's sister, where she had to kill her. Like that.
True.
I mean, we didn't really get to know that character, but that scene was very impactful.
It's very meaningful for her character development.
Well, let's put a death note on the conversation about Walking Dead with this. I will say that this show's ultimate downfall, or the ultimate ending to this show, regardless of what their plan is Norman Reedus leaving. If Norman Reedus ever leaves, it's done.
This show will probably be
riots across the
he'll
world,
be,
right?
He'll just be done.
I think that's why they gave him, and I don't remember the
stupid
figure,
money,
it was
like $20 million,
it was
big raise.
Yes.
So
does he get to talk? Has he talked more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, ever since even last
more
season,
than a grunt.
You'll see a major. He's a key player, as if he wasn't always.
But the reason, one of the things we talked about from one scary genre of TV to another is we kind of went back and forth as to what we were going to talk about today, because we've done genre-defining horror movies. We've done favorite horror movies. But we're going to do one that really hits home to Missy, and she was kind of the inspiration for it.
Okay.
We're going to do B-movie horror movies today, and our favorite, and I feel like before we talk about what our favorite is, I want to define what a B-movie is, B-horror movie is. And essentially, there's no way around it. It's a low-budget, scary movie, typically characterized by cheesy special effects, over-the-top gore, and not really great acting. That said, the first question I have, I want to throw to the flop, and I want to know, because I know how much she loves them, I want to know what she thinks the best ingredients for a B-movie classic horror movie is.
I think cheese is the main ingredient for that.
Put cheese on top.
Cheese.
Shredded cheddar? What are we talking?
All flavors.
All of it. So to get inspiration, I was roaming the internet and found a list of top B movies, and
we're gonna argue with it.
Okay, this is because I don't agree with it.
Okay,
but by Jeremy's definition just now, it would be considered a B movie. And number one on that list was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. I do not consider it a B movie.
Now here, that's interesting because I was just watching this, and I watch it. That's a yearly watch.
Yeah,
I always do it. I got my October movies and, hell, any other one I'll just watch.
Yeah.
But point being, though, if you really listen to some of the dialogue and stuff like that, it's like awful. Like
I get it.
Okay, go ahead. And here's the first one I just noticed the other day. When she's having the first nightmare, the Tina, right? The blonde.
Yeah.
And the mom comes in, she goes, and she's like, Tina, you know, what are you doing? And she shows her shirt. She goes, honey, you're either going to have to either trim your fingernails or stop having bad dreams, one or the other. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, Jesus, Lord,
see,
I never realized how bad some of this dialogue was.
Well, and that was intentional. That was intentional.
I imagine.
So cheesy, yes.
Yeah, it is cheesy. But my problem, though, is a low-budget movie.
Right.
I don't know how low-budget it was.
And I got to tell you, I think non-theatrical releases constitute B-movies. And Nightmare on Elm Street was a theatrical release. And it was a majorly pushed by the studio back when they pushed
scary
movies.
And it could have been low-budget, but I think it still had a decent...
marketing budget was big.
It had
Johnny Depp in it.
Who was the production company back in? Do you remember?
New Line Cinema.
Exactly. Mm. See, and at that time, it's true up and coming, but they were.
And then that whole series became like
and then it
everywhere,
launched, which
everywhere.
Is amazing too, because it's not like the following movies really were killer, if you will.
Right.
You know?
So like.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that movie though. I was just thinking yesterday. I'm like, you know, I think I want to. I've rewatched it in my adulthood. It really is super cheesy, but it holds a special place in my heart and from my childhood.
Because you remember it, however you remember it from all those back old days. As long as you don't let your older self trump
it's because they were so cheesy that Freddy started getting a cereal, a toy line.
Yeah.
It started being
toy
a Sunday
line is
morning
just crazy.
Card.
Like
and then they realized, that's when they kind of retro. It changed his origin from a pedophile to just a crazy guy.
I was just crazy.
Like in the third or fourth movie, they started changing it because they were like, wait a minute, we're marketing towards kids and he is a pedophile.
Oh, great.
He is a murderer of children. So
I mean, honestly, I think the original story was the solid one. I mean, yeah. A mental patient, that's fine, but then stick with, I mean, that should be the start. He was a mental patient right. That got loose.
They probably didn't whatever. Know that they well, could no, market he, this he, character he, into toys.
He was a pedophile. He raped the kids right. in the neighborhood.
No, and,
yeah.
I, and I'm done
yeah,
with
yeah.
that. But I'm not done with this thing that, oh, he was just crazy. No, I think he knew exactly what yeah. he was doing.
Yeah, he was smart, too, because yeah. he stayed. He was a janitor at the school, so he was covering
oh,
it up
man.
Pretty well.
It's a solid storyline. I love it. And even though I'm kind of bashing the dialogue, yes, it's a legit watch.
I feel like I want to at least try and have our 14-year-old watch it. Like, it might mess her world up.
Was it 14, 8th grade?
She's a freshman.
Oh, but yeah. I feel, that's probably about.
What year did this movie come out?
We don't protect them.
80-something.
Well, they're already watching Walking Dead for a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she watches Shameless. She started Orange is the New Black. So
we took a family trip to see It, too, last month. So.
Oh, both girls?
Oh, yes. My youngest thought It 1 was the funniest movie of the year.
They're probably most desensitized to it nowadays. Yeah. And I think that's another thing, too. Unfortunately, that kids are going to be kind of desensitized to true horror because...
Well, we did watch a movie on Netflix last night, The Ritual. Which is pretty decent.
Yeah.
And
have you seen it?
Oh yeah.
And it made my oldest or my youngest did not want to go downstairs and do her laundry.
Well, Jeremy turned off the lamp, and she goes, "Turn the light back
on." Turn it back
on.
You know, even as crazy as it started getting towards the end with the whole entity and stuff,
yeah,
that was a creepy ass movie.
It was a creepy movie. I'm a firm believer that there's a fine line between a good movie by showing your monster or not showing your monster.
Oh.
And that one really towed the line because it was a weird looking monster.
It was.
It was really.
Only because it was like that deity kind of stuff. You know,
it
like,
was
yeah.
like
weird.
But it was like
it's almost like
an animal person something.
It was like a woods elemental or something. Yeah. So it was.
But like you said, it still had the creep factor and I think very good actors. I thought, I felt all of them were pulling their weight as.
Oh, well, some of them have been. There was a lot of actors in that movie that were in movies,
absolutely.
British movies. Like,
in fact, I think the Lee guy, wasn't he in the most recent Jurassic Park guy, the guy who actually survives towards the end?
I don't know.
I think he plays the
bad guy in Jurassic Park, the suit bad guy. But either
the buddy that died in the that started the journey.
Yes.
He's been in a lot of movies as a villain and other things.
Okay.
So, but anyway, let's go back to B movies. Let me give you another example of. Yes, in theory, it was a B movie, but it was so intentional it doesn't count. The Grindhouse films, the Tarantino, Robert Rubio.
All of them were on the list.
See, and those aren't B movies because those were big budgets, and those were made to look that way.
Right.
Yes.
So it wasn't. So to me, a B movie is Killer Clowns from Outer Space. One of the ones that would be on the list.
It's not my number one, but it's on the list.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite of all time.
They're even talking about making a sequel, but I don't think it's ever gonna get off the ground.
Another to me would be like Basket Case, which is a very good. Scary movie, Reanimator and Reanimator 2.
Yeah.
But
those are totally.
Is that your list? You just told us your
whole
list.
No. I just wanted to pick out some really big ones, and if they come up, we'll talk about them more. But
I specifically did not choose big ones that, I mean, it's going to be, I don't want to talk about everything. Yeah, Friday the 13th. Of course. I mean, it's a
great theatrical
release.
That
was another one that was on the B movie list, and I was like, wait,
that's a slasher
was it cheap?
Film.
It's because the original budget was literally so damn low, but
because
still.
They're in the woods. There's no, like, free space. They didn't have to build a lot of set.
Yeah.
We've already
talked about this before, too, and Halloween is my favorite.
Yeah.
Same.
Horror thrillers.
I just watched it last night.
I also think, too, there's something about your director. If your director, at the time those movies were made, the directors were known commodities.
Yes.
So, like, for instance, there's a couple on my list, and we don't even have to do, like, our top six. Let's just mention what our favorite B movies are. So, two of my favorite, Bad Taste and Brain Dead. Those are clearly B movies.
I've never seen either.
Peter Jackson, who was not a known commodity, had no clue. Somehow he made those two movies, got enough money to make The Frighteners, which was a very sleeper hit.
Yeah.
And then the world said, you know what? This guy deserves $500 million to make
Lord of the Rings
all in a row.
How did that happen?
But Bad Taste and I've talked about it on the podcast before and shown everybody, he also made Meet the Feebles, which is...
You showed me pieces of that.
Unbelievable.
I was like, what am I watching?
Another great B movie, but those are B movies. Give me an example of... give me one or two of yours that you love.
Well, let me see here. One that may be a little bit more obscure. Have you ever seen a Slaughter High?
Slaughter High was great.
1984. Again, it's the cheesy ass music. The dialogue was this and that.
Yeah.
But it still had this story where these teens basically torture this younger guy, you know, always making fun of him. Something really bad happens to him, and they all come back for this reunion, but they're the only, like, eight people there. Now they're older, mind you. They still look the same age.
Right.
And this guy, Marty, is back to ensue his revenge. And it's just,
One tends to do when tortured when you were a kid.
Right. Very true. And I don't know what it is, but there's just some of these low super budget ones that I know I can put on, and I don't have to fully watch it, but just listening to it in the background, I'll do my editing, and I'm just happy.
But this is the time of year for it.
If you are listening to these in the background, does it give you inspiration while you're editing? Like, I should use something similar to maybe that music, or
if you glance
at the screen, you're like, oh, well, I like that effect. Let me see if I can incorporate it.
Inspiration.
When it comes to like kill death scenes or something like that, or anything around that nature, yes. But I'll tell you where I get my true inspiration. I don't get off on a tangent, but just to mention, it's certain soundtrack music loops, and I'll play them from certain movies.
Yeah.
Yes, and just some horror movies on the other day. I can't remember what it was, but it had this very intense like chase scene, and I just started typing, and my mind just started flowing better. That's what helps me write.
Oh, that's awesome. That's just a thought there. Yeah.
But back to it. But Slaughter High. Complete piece of crap. But it was fun. It's fun. It's got that cheese. A lot of cheese.
Yeah.
But just enough where it's like, well, this is watchable.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? What was another one of yours?
I'm not sure this is actually a B movie, but this is one that stuck out from back when I was younger. And I actually mentioned it maybe on the last podcast or the one before, April Fool's Day.
Okay, no, that's not recent, is it?
No, it's from like mid-80s.
Okay, mid-80s.
And I just looked it up. I didn't see any big name like actors. There was something, and there was just something creepy about it. I feel like I want to rewatch it again.
Sure.
One of the ones I found on Netflix recently, and I watched it last year, and I rewatched it again this year.
I was hoping you brought that up because that one looked pretty good.
It is. It's called Terrifier.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
It's about a guy. His name is Art the Clown.
Oh gosh.
And he's a killer. I would maybe call him a serial killer because just the way he presented himself wasn't like. And the premise is Halloween night, so it's not like he just came out and started killing people. I just kind of feel or sense that this was his thing for all these years. Maybe he did it on every Halloween. I don't know.
And then kind of go back to sleep for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. But the second time I watched it, it's really creepy. It's not creepy in the like Pennywise sense.
Okay.
Because Pennywise...
Well, creepy can be a lot of things. If you're feeling unedged, like you're kind of like, this is just
so
weird.
This character makes zero noise. Like at one point, this is not a spoiler, he gets stabbed in the foot.
Yeah.
And the camera pans to his face and he makes a yelling sound with his, like you're like, ah,
but
there's
there.
No, he makes zero sound weird. The whole, and he'll make creepy faces, even with the clown face.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very creepy.
And
but
it was Terrifier.
It's Terrifier.
Yeah,
yes.
And he makes the whoever the killer is acting in that,
yes.
And however the special effects did it, it's clearly a mask, and it's not meant to trick you.
No, because at one point someone grabbed his face.
Yeah.
And you could see it's stretch. You could tell the cheekbones part of his face was actually like.
But they managed to make that face give that actor gets a lot of expressions out of that mask.
Interesting.
Like with it on, and it never changes. But his mouth and his eyes. I mean, one of the other things I like about that movie from what I watched, and I've not watched the whole thing for a B movie and a modern B movie. Whatever that camera filter they use is, that encapsulates what a B movie is.
Okay. Yeah,
you know, like there's a little bit of that grainy haze to it.
It's not a complete
what doesn't work in 4K.
I think the 4K stuff is it's almost too clean. And my uncle actually, he was telling me about it. He goes, I gotta be honest. He said, I like your stuff, Mike, because it still has some grain to it and stuff like that, which is kind of funny because I shot my most recent one in 4K, but it was very dark scenes. My lens doesn't handle that as well. And so at least it should, but it doesn't. And so the grain is a needed factor for some.
Well, I tell you another one for me, and this is and I'm not talking about my best, just ones that I really enjoyed. There's another one, and I don't know that it was a theatrical release, and I'll have to look up the director. In fact, I'm going to do that as I talk.
Okay.
But one of my favorites, I believe we may have talked about it on the podcast before, but Nathan Fillion, who is one of my genre's favorite actors,
yeah, he's all over the place.
Slither. Slither was unbelievably good.
I like Slither. My wife, she wasn't a big fan, but then again, she doesn't usually, you know, there's certain, it needs certain elements. Like you said,
yeah.
Halloween she loves.
Yeah.
Even Nightmare on Elm Street, but something like Slither. But there was something about it.
It was a very good movie. And like, who was the director of that?
Oh, boy, yeah, you got me on that one.
It's a good one. Whoever directed it is a very, like, you're going to be like, oh, that guy went on to do, oh, written, here it was. It was written by James Gunn.
Oh, really?
Went on to be as big as you can get.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he did Guardians of the Galaxy. Now he's doing Suicide Squad 2. He directed it as well. I mean, but, you know, here, listen to this lineup. And this was a B movie. This was, it's all about these little worms that get in you and take you over, and they do really weird stuff to you. Like, one girl blows up super big, like almost like Violet in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
But it's Nathan Fillion, Elizabeth Banks, Michael Rooker. There's some good names in it.
It had a legit cast. And with the premise is very interesting, too, because it's this alien thing that's trying to live on.
Yeah.
So it needs to impregnate.
Yeah.
It's a spawn. But when it finally does, like you said, it blows this one woman up to, like, all
she's
kinds
in
of
the
size.
Barn. The entire barn is her. And her little face and hands are, she's just, I feel so bloated.
Oh, almost like, what's her face from Charlie and the Chocolate
Factory? That's what I mean. Violet, like I said, Violet from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
So is the alien where your wife was like, nah?
I think it had that a little bit too much cheese.
Oh, it is cheesy.
Yeah, I don't think it was quite selling for it. Like, it's like, and I gotta admit, I understand that sometimes, because it's like, well, wait a minute, are we being serious, or are we? And I'll be, when I first saw the Shaun of the Dead, when we went to the theater, saw a bunch of friends, we all left that theater and we were like, man, and I was just like, man, I'm not even sure if I really like that, because I realized I was off, and because after I saw it a time and then a time after, I mean, I watch that now almost yearly, and I love it. But I don't know what happened to me, and maybe it was just mixed company, and maybe they, you know, they start changing.
That's how mind. I felt about Super Troopers. The first time I watched it, I was like, this is retarded.
A lot of people I know said the first time they watched Anchorman, they didn't dig it, and then they watched it a million more
still
times.
Still don't like it. I mean, it's meh.
Yeah. I don't
it's
know how our
it's
marriage
a guy's
works.
Guy's movie.
I do it's not know how our marriage movie. Works with that comment. Give me another one, if one you like.
Let's see what we got on here. So you say, oh, now here is a literal complete piece of trash, but for some reason saw when I was younger. It's Howling 2.
Oh,
your sister is a werewolf.
That's a bad movie.
And this
I think
movie,
the title alone just describes
it
as a B movie.
Your sister the werewolf.
Well, what sucks, the Howling was a massive hit.
It was. And when they did this number 2, and I did a bunch of research on it because I love watching. After I've seen these movies 100 times, I'll turn on IMDb and I'll just read all the trivia. But this movie has so many complications, and I heard poor Christopher Lee, who's in this movie. And Christopher Lee's solid.
Mm-hmm. No, Christopher Lee's not just solid. He's a legend in horror movies.
He was checked out. And yes, you're right. He's a legend. Yeah. And he was just checked out.
He Marlon Brando'd it in at the end of his life, like Island of Dr. Monroe.
It's so bad because the lead female and guy, I mean, they're not good. It's just not good. And I can just tell whenever they're in a scene together, if you watch Christopher Lee, some of his eye movements, kind of rolling his eyes, that's not just in the movie.
That's to the dialogue. I can't believe we're saying these words.
Yeah. But something about it, and I don't, it's like I said, it's nostalgia. I saw it when I was younger. It was one of those, oh, look at this, you know, crazy movie with, you know, werewolves and shit. Oh, and did you know that they use monkey costumes? They delivered the wrong.
They didn't
get the werewolf costumes. They needed, they're like these monkey ones. They're like, what are we supposed to do with this? And the producer said, make it work.
That sounds like
that's interesting, though.
Well, that sounds like a plot for Big Bang on the movies that Penny made, or the movie, you remember she was in that monkey movie?
Oh.
Like, that sounds like an accident that would happen. Yeah. That doesn't sound like real life.
Yeah.
But it happened, and you know what? And that must be so damn frustrating as a director, and this is supposed to be maybe your debut, or maybe it's your next killer hit. And you can't even get that.
I think you would enjoy the newest episode, not to get off too far on a tangent, of the one before of Harmontown with Ed Neumeier, who created and wrote RoboCop and Starship Troopers. He comes on there and he talks about all the things that he wanted to accomplish with it and how Peter Verhoeven was on the same page as him. But they talk about things, problems with the suit and some things.
Right.
But it's really interesting because Dan Harmon says the three perfect films are Die Hard, Jaws, and RoboCop. He said those are perfect films.
They're all good films. Great films.
They're pretty damn solid made films.
They're definitely solid films, but I mean, does it hit every audience, though?
No, I tried to get my kids to watch Jaws, and they're like, this is boring.
I think we showed Mason, I mean, like I said, you kind of show the girls over time. If we show them right now, I think they'd never get in the water again.
Jaws is considered, by a lot, the best film ever made.
It's solid. To their defense, even one of the kids was like, this is such a slow movie. It is. It's slow at the beginning, for sure.
You know, Dreyfuss was on interviews just before, and he was not sold on it. And I think it had a lot of issues.
Turns out it worked out for him.
And they said, I mean, this has been all over, that that was the movie that was going to make or break Spielberg's directing
what
career.
Did it do?
What did,
it
yeah, it. What did it do?
Oh, well,
no, just kidding.
Oh, yeah. See, how did that turn out for
him? Did you also know that it was in theaters for almost a whole year?
Yeah, it was so good.
What?
Yeah, so big.
That
yeah.
is...
That's fun too.
So before we go to Missy, one of the favorite things from the Neumeier thing with
Harmon,
he said he came up with the name RoboCop and then came up with the plot. He was like,
Lord.
It's RoboCop. He goes, I got to make a movie over that.
Not to go too far off, but Elton John wrote a book. It came out this week, and he was maybe they showed a snippet of some sort of interview, and he said that they would provide him like lyrics, and he wrote the music around that, would give him a title and he would write the lyrics and the music around
title. I'd like to look that, because Elton John is not credited with one of the all-time great songwriters as much as his partner is.
Maybe they collaborated together.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, they did. They've been together since day one, and and even though he's an all-time great performer and musician.
Sure.
But his partner is I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he's...
Like his partner or his partner?
No, his writing partner is considered to be the genius writer of the group. So, Missy, give us a movie.
No movie.
So, Jeremy and I just watched this movie recently, and if it's on your list,
It's
first time watch. And I don't even know how he came across it. Murder Party.
It was good.
I heard of it, but
I tell you what. Go ahead.
Did we just talk about it on the last?
We talked about it on the last.
We touched on it,
but Mike didn't listen. So tell him about it.
So it's just this weird guy that finds this invitation to a party, a Halloween party, and he legit makes this costume out of cardboard in an hour, and he's a robot, but it's. Like you see it taped together. There's like writing because it was like a moving box that he cut up or whatever. Anyway, he goes what seems like across the world to this party in the middle of like the ghetto to get there, and it's these people, and it's a bunch of people.
It sounds like a gem.
Well, what it is they're in the building waiting to whoever responded to the thing, and they're going to kill them for art. They're all art students.
But they're devious. I mean,
they're going to kill him.
Oh. Yeah.
They let him know from the very beginning. Once they tie him to the chair, they're here to kill him.
Yeah.
But they're waiting on the most influential art lover or art guy who has, he's holding this grant money over him.
Yeah.
Whoever can make the best. So on paper, and then there's a plot twist, and you should watch it by yourself. Probably the wife may not dig it.
No, I usually these are.
But
totally,
I mean,
sorry, babe.
This one just because you do not want to put this on her. I will say it's as enjoyable as you get by being completely awful.
Yes,
but there's some things in it.
Jeremy's favorite part was one of the guys.
This is the funniest thing.
His kill.
His weapon.
It's
a chainsaw.
It's a chainsaw that needs to be plugged in.
It's an electric chainsaw. And so there's this epic chase scene at the end, and he's running with this massive amount of power cord. But it's on purpose.
No, I get it.
But I tell you what it is. It's a movie that under the right circumstances, because of the plot twist and could have been a great Tarantino movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would have been a great movie.
Need the right direction. You got to have the right direction.
Yeah, it was entertaining for sure.
That's funny. I got it on the list. I'm writing things down.
By the way, Bernie Taupin is the massive songwriter. He's been with John Johnson's day one. And I can't believe it didn't remain. I mean, the guy's won so much stuff.
Okay.
And he alone is worth like $300 million.
But the idea that you could just, here's a title. Now make a solid.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you got the premise, but it's like, that's like a couple words.
Yeah. I mean, think of someone like Tool, who has the most obscure titles, and like you're just the song.
One of the titles is
the title.
Hooker with a Penis is another song from Tool. It's my favorite Tool song, actually. So, Levi's is my favorite, actually.
You're back on you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So another movie that I was thinking about a while ago is. I'm off topic now. I messed myself up.
That's okay.
Oh, no.
So what,
Mike, it's you.
No. It's one when I was a kid. I don't know what about it scared the hell out of me.
You're a kid?
There was very few movies that scared me as a kid that I wouldn't. Because I lived in the country, with satellite or with cable when it was new.
Sure.
We had a tree fall on our house, and we had to get the roof repaired and the cable. That was where the cable came in.
Poltergeist?
Well, no. When they repaired it, they accidentally, the cable company came out to repair the cable.
Yeah.
They unlocked every channel.
Oh, see, it porn?
Sweet.
We had everything. And
yeah. Well, we first go to.
And we weren't paying for it. Well, this is when you could get it on cable, yeah. You know?
Right. Well, you still can. You just have to pay for it, I think.
Well, no, I mean, now, yeah, now
well,
cable, but you remember.
Might still be able to pay.
I don't
but
know.
Either way.
I don't
but there was a
saying.
Brief time where it was the coaxial into a box on top of your TV where they got rid of all that stuff. But so I had access to Cinemax and all these cheesy. And I've said it before in here a lot of times. Joe Bob Briggs and.
TNT up all night.
And Rhonda up all night. And
I love it, man.
Super Day, all of these things.
So
I loved all these things.
Great.
But Children of the Corn, not a low budget movie. I mean, that was a big release. That scared the shit out of me because
same.
All the corn that was around
me. That's a creepy movie.
The original Nightmare on Elm Street.
By the way, we were just driving through a bunch of cornfields last week, and I got the kids like, this is like Children of the Corn. Him and I were like talking back and forth, and then I asked him to stop. It's daylight, by the way, but I asked him to stop in the middle of the road, and the girls were like, "Oh my god!" Like,
were like, "No, those are the good times. Those are good memories."
But another one, and I guarantee if I go back and watch this again, I'll be like, "Jeremy, why the hell were you scared?" Chopping Mall. Chopping Mall was
Never
a B movie, and all it was about was these people accidentally get locked in a mall overnight, and the robots turn killer.
Robots?
There's robots in this mall that are patrolling.
Robots or just
like vending machine.
Well, like they were the maintenance and stuff in the mall, and they just turn into these monsters.
Like Rosie from the Jetsons.
Right, she goes fucking crazy.
Very, very
on them.
Nice. Yeah.
And
that was her name, right? Rosie?
I think it was Rosie. I think it was.
Yeah, but I'll show you images. This movie, like the.
That's crazy.
So that's the poster, which is a lot like House. You remember House?
Yeah. With this like devious arm kind of holding up, which doesn't really look like a robot, mind you, but maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah. So look. So here was what the cleaning robots looked like, and they go murderous.
Look, this went up on IMDb, peeps, because Lord.
Yeah. Look at it. So that's a scene.
Oh no.
But I just
Can't outrun those things.
Well,
and why is she pantless?
I mean, can they go?
Well, you have to watch.
Now wait a minute.
So he's shirtless.
What year was his name?
Oh, 84?
And you seriously just asked, why was she pantless? My question would be, why was she pantless and topless ready to wear?
So the whole gimmick was this company came up with this, housekeeping robot, and they were going to use it in this mall, and it was a test, and then they go murderous. The movie itself didn't scare me as much, but I had dreams after where I was stuck in a mall, because we used to go to the Sykeston and Cape Mall that we talked about last weekend. All the time, and I thought, well, fuck.
Yeah.
What if it happened to me in my dreams, you know?
I went to Northwest Plaza all the time. My thought wasn't, am I going to get killed by a robot? Maybe
it was North County.
Yeah.
I mean, North County, you might be thinking
North County
robots.
Yeah.
But,
North County residents may murder me.
Yeah, I think residents, moreover.
What's another one for you?
And this one's newer, and I think this is technically B rated because I don't even think it had a huge production company.
We'll be the judge of it.
Well, Paranormal Activity.
So it was a theatrical release.
It was.
The only reason I'm going to say it's not a B movie, this is the only reason.
Yeah.
It was a very risky and brand new endeavor that they set out artistically.
But isn't every B movie? You're releasing something, it might be a little low budget.
Well, back
and
then,
I don't know the budget on that, but maybe...
It was super small. But the people only got paid a grand.
So Blair Witch and Paranormal, the only reason I don't constitute... it was low budget
because they became big.
Well, no, because they didn't have a budget because the style in which they filmed it.
That's true.
But I bet if you look up the marketing budget for those movies, it's off the charts.
I think
they
definitely didn't expect it to become, and I'm going to look it up how much it actually was, but expect it to blow up the way
it
did.
So the marketing on, I feel like the originals wasn't huge.
Oh, the Blair Witch was one of the original big marketed movies. That was the first movie to have a website.
Oh, that's
true. Well, that's because they were really trying to push it as real.
Real.
And Paranormal Activity.
Here we go. Budget for Paranormal Activity. Estimated. $15,000.
How much was the marketing budget? Read that.
Unfortunately, I don't have that. Isn't there a Mojo rap or something that does that? $15,000.
Yeah. I'll look it up while you're talking about it.
Guess how much worldwide that thing is grossed to almost today. Within the last year, too. $193 million.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You
want to
talk about return on investment?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Listen, I don't even think you can buy a car for $15,000 anymore.
No.
So.
Well, no, probably not. Not new, at least.
Like, geez.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about, oh, God, especially if you didn't have any people funding it and this was your project, yeah. That means that's all coming your way.
Right.
Other than maybe the distribution company that takes it on.
Now, are both of those movies creepy? Yes.
Oh,
are
yeah.
they cheesy? If you think about it, they're toeing the line. They're toeing the line. It's low budget. What were your other definitions of a B movie?
So it's a low non-theatrical release is a big
Which
one.
Which
that
this was a total theatrical.
And
we
in
saw
fact,
the theater.
In fact, so, Missy, we went to see it in theater, but she was pregnant with Hayden, and we couldn't
I
get through the first 30 minutes.
Motion sickness. So all that camera movement, I was like, I'm gonna be sick.
But here's why I mentioned this one, just as a little side. And I've seen a lot. You've probably seen more, but we've definitely, between the two of us, have probably
seen
more
lot,
horror
yeah.
and thriller than we, and yourself.
Yeah.
She loves
okay?
them.
We can all agree on that. This is one of the only movies where, as a grown man, I woke up, I was screaming in my sleep. My wife, when I wasn't snoring so bad and we actually slept in the same room, she was like, you know you were screaming last night? And she kind of, you know, woke me up and stuff like that. Yeah, I was just like, I mean, the movie had some kind of impact on me that just freaked the hell out of me. And it's that paranormal shit that it's like, do I fully believe? Maybe not, but it's, that what-if factor, and I just can't.
But let's be real. It's most of that stuff happened at night. You don't even know because you're sleeping.
Right,
like, maybe
right.
it is happening. Like, I don't sleep well.
Hey,
maybe I'm being awakened by some sort of creature.
And, I mean, it's so Blair Witch was a game changer.
It was.
And that movie, and so without Blair Witch, we would never had Cloverfield.
It changed the industry
But Blair, and the Paranormal Activity was they took the same found footage and kind of turned it up in the air because of the world of security and stuff like that and security cameras and whatnot.
Yeah,
so it was a big movie.
What Blair Witch had was, internet was...
lack of internet was what it had.
It was still out there, but it wasn't as huge, so you didn't get the spoilers that you do today. So I went into that movie, think my naive self. I was in my 20s. I was like, well, this shit's real. And I was creeped out the whole time. And my boyfriend at the time was like, you know that's fake. And I was like, afterwards. And I was like, well, you just ruined it for me.
I've told this story.
I was really hoping that, like, I didn't want people to die, but I was like, that's
now, did you see
creepy.
the new one that came out a year or so ago?
Did we? I feel
did
like
did you watch that?
I think we've watched them all.
I feel like we did.
Oh, this was the Blair Witch. It was.
No!
Oh, you didn't watch it.
No,
okay.
No.
It was more of, I'd say, the same. Just another crew of people, but they're going back out, and the guy's trying to find his sister. His sister was the one in the original.
No, I feel like we did. So what really ruined it for me was finding out that main character was a woman that was in
commercials,
a Steak and Shake commercial, and I was like,
"Total ruined."
Well, I've told the story in the podcast. My roommate was a pretty tough guy. He was in the police academy, and he's a policeman. We left the theater, and he was pale as a ghost. He was almost throwing up, scared. And I'm like, "Dude, what is wrong?" He goes, "Why are you not more fucked up?"
Wow.
And I said, "'Cause it was fake." And he was like, what?
Oh, no.
I mean, it just...
See, you got all these guys ruining this shit for everybody.
Well, and he didn't know.
Jerk face.
Yeah, so... so I'm going to go with one, again, a non-theatrical release.
Okay, non-theatrical.
Wait a second.
Oh, technically it should be...
Oh, you! I'm sorry, I thought you did that. I thought you did that. Sorry, I thought you did that. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have on my... No, I did Burner Party, so you are right.
Oh.
No, it's your turn now. He just did... He just Paranormal Activity, so now it's you.
So The Hills Have Eyes.
That's a good one.
The original.
Non-theatrical. Another for that time.
Low budget.
Well, for that time period, it wasn't a theatrical release, but what it was a drive-in release, which is another good qualification for a B-movie. Because you would get like a big movie and then a really weird movie packaged with it back in the 70s and 80s. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and
I never saw the original. I need to go back and watch it.
Way scarier.
I know, I've only seen them.
Way scarier.
I
will say this.
I say it's scary. It's creepy.
It's creepy.
Like, okay, I like creepy.
Creepy. It's
creepy
like
and scary kind of, you know, it's like there are two levels, but there's a such thing to mix the two, creepy and scary.
Yeah. But sometimes creepy toes into the, like
now you're just getting
so
weird.
Like their original Last House on the Left.
Oh yeah,
which is another.
That's one I showed her.
That's
I said
disturbing.
So there's creepy tiptoes into disturbing sometimes, and there are some scenes especially in the remake of The Hills Have Eyes. Okay. That's disturbing. And it's just like...
Well, like the scene, the trailer scene when one of the daughters is in there and, I mean, she's getting, you know, raped and stuff, yeah. Which, I mean, that's very insulting.
Oh, that is a tough scene.
That is a tough scene. And, but, you know, I mean, if you don't... Obviously, he's trying to send a certain message into shock and all, right?
Yeah.
And I think they got that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But I need to go watch the original. And so what do you think... What do you like the most about it? Just the, like you said, the creepiness of it, or...?
Well, first of all, what was that, the 70s or 80s?
70s, I believe, for that one.
So, okay, that must explain why it looks crappy. Like,
yeah. Well, it has that one dude, he's got he's a big, long body and bald head.
Yeah, I feel like he's in the remake, too.
He may be.
He could
Well,
be.
They did all those guys up in Maine.
Oh, the bald guy. Yeah, before he died, yeah.
Yes. Hey. So, I mean, it was cheesy dialogue. Okay.
I'm looking it up real quick.
It was the remake is definitely in my eyes a little creepier. But yeah. One, I mean, I like the original.
It's good.
Too. Like okay. The Last House on the Left, the remake, dumb.
So yeah, Hills Have
but
Eyes.
But the original, he fell asleep and I was like, Oh my god, I'm so scared.
I'd seen it and I made her watch it because I told her, I said, if you think the new one was creepy,
check this out.
Because it's so like gonzo film made, like okay. Very like mm-hmm. guerrilla filming, you know, yep, like low yep. budget.
Running
and it's
gun style.
Yeah.
Oh, it's creepy.
You know, Hills Have Eyes for a long time was considered the scariest movie ever made, and when Sam Raimi made Evil Dead. The original poster was Ash cutting through something. He was cutting through a poster of The Hills Have Eyes.
That's awesome.
Because they took down it. And Evil Dead was considered the new scary. And Evil Dead to this day was one of the scariest.
Right now, and it was actually on my list. Let's just speak that real quick. So Evil Dead, and I saw that in later years, so I didn't get to watch it as younger.
Evil Dead is...
Same.
And I tell you, the remake got a lot of shit, but it was very good.
I
with the replacing Ash
solid.
With the girl.
The ending... Interesting. I mean, I don't think it ruined it or anything. It just, but.
And those Evil Dead movies, by the way, those are B movies. Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, those are B as a gift.
I love Army, though. I mean, by that time, I think even Bruce Campbell was coming into his acting a little bit more. And
oh, yeah.
He really getting a feel.
Well, by that
things.
Point, he'd already got Landed Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Look it up if you've never seen it.
I've heard of it.
One of the greatest TV series of all time. It lasted two seasons on Fox. Lord Bowler was
so he was finally getting it.
It was fantasy meets Western meets sci-fi. It was awesome. Cool. It was awesome. Yeah. Cool. And it was Bruce Campbell.
I remember that. I just never, you know, when you're young, it's like, there it goes. No DVR.
My next one though is probably one of the most successful at the time B-movie franchises ever. The original Sleepaway Camp.
Which I had it on my list to watch. I just never saw it.
Which, by the way, it gets credit for the first ever monster twist ending that no one saw coming.
Don't spoil
and
it.
If you guys have never seen it, no.
Spoiler.
No.
I haven't.
No.
Oh, it's not.
You will not know what happened.
Okay, cool.
In fact, I wanted to talk about it, but
right
since
now.
You both haven't seen it,
yep.
we may watch it tonight. We may find it to watch tonight.
I'm on it.
Yeah, it...
I'll see if I can even... I'll get it on going.
And so... But it was so big at the time that in the second and third one, they forced a twist on you that didn't really work.
So is it worth even getting past one? I mean, she just...
No, it's worth it.
If you like
B-movies, they're all worth it.
All right.
And I'll tell you what, the reason... I can't remember if it's the second or third one, but the most impactful death on me for it was this news reporter that was this annoying, like abrasive, like I'm better than you news reporter. Has a cocaine problem, and they keep telling their assistant to find them coke. And so she comes into a room, and there's some coke there, and she lays it out, chops it up, and sniffs it, and it's mixed with powderized bleach. And so she's like, her nose. Like, that was like made so much of an impact.
I'm never going to do coke again.
Well, that's it. We just removed that.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Actually, so I base my, future life on horror movies. Like,
yes.
I'm never going to stay in a hostel.
That's
right?
Probably
okay.
A smart move.
What was the movie we watched last night? Was it The Ritual?
The Ritual,
oh,
yes.
Yeah. So what's the
there?
Don't go on hikes?
Oh, no, we watched two movies last night.
So it was
I
The Ritual. I go, well, I'm never going into a forest.
Well, or at least an unknown forest in a freaking unknown country. Well,
right.
Another country.
But we watched two scary movies last
night.
We
did.
I fell asleep on the other one.
You fell asleep on the other one. I was drunk by that point.
It was awful.
But that was the point. That was the point of it.
I can't remember what it was.
I honestly don't.
It was,
I was like, here are new ones.
Yeah, I wish I, it was on Netflix.
It was on Netflix.
It was. It was on Netflix. I just can't remember. It was shorter, so I hit play on it, and I fell asleep. And there was
Red Christmas.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Red Christmas. Okay, that's new. Let's see it.
It was cheesy.
I thought it was a remake because I feel like there was.
Well, it was a Black Christmas.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Which is they have a '70s, very early '80s one, original, which is pretty rough. And then they had the newer one, which I can't say was much better. And I say newer. It was mid-2000s-ish.
So what was Black Christmas about?
Basically, there was this young boy who was not treated very well by his mom, but his dad loved him, whatever. Well, the mom ends up killing the dad, and then she gets her lover in there, and then they have their own kid. Well, in the end, basically, he ends up killing the mom and like eating her skin as cookies. Okay.
So this one is kind of similar in the fact that there is a mom... The dad is
It's Australian,
dead.
We should note, too.
Well, so the main character that's the mom is American.
Okay. Yeah.
All the kids are Australian, which leads me to believe that she probably married an Australian.
Okay.
It's and in Australia. Lived in,
yeah, but he's not in the picture?
No, he's his character's dead.
Okay.
And then all of the kids, like, there's one kid that kind of looks, like, exotic. And I even asked him, I'm like, maybe these are all adoptions.
Yeah. Okay. But they don't explain
it.
They don't explain. They don't explain because the mom's super white. All the siblings are super white.
There's
and
a
then
kid
you
with
have
Down
one
syndrome.
That's like, yeah, you have
maybe
one that looks
then.
Like maybe Middle Easternish or
does
something.
One go ape shit?
No, well, the kid with Down syndrome plays into the overall theme of the movie at some point.
So,
So a weird stranger shows up and starts murdering people.
Shows up and murders people. So there's a twist in there.
You gotta watch
it. But it's very similar because it's Christmas. People are dying. They call it Red Christmas because people are killed.
I want to put a pin in that topic, the Christmas scary movie, real quick.
Yeah. Is it a Christmas movie or is it a horror movie?
Let's come right back to it.
Die Hard. Wait, no. Yeah. Sorry.
It came out in July. Sleepaway. By the way, Sleepaway Camp had an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Woo!
It's got 92% acceptance by its audience. So it is a big one. It's a big one.
So does that make? I mean,
it's on the list.
Was it like that when it came out, or has it become a cult film?
So when I was a kid, and you judge this for what you want, and this is pre-internet days, it was the movie that we all of us kids tried to seek out at the store because they were like, well, this is better than Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
This is about a camp, and it's better. So it had a lot of... So in order to get that level of notoriety back in the 80s, it had to be accepted by people. Well, you just brought up, though, Christmas movies, and we were talking about with some friends of ours, the Wallings, the Bridge Gap movies that bridge Halloween to Christmas.
Oh, yes.
So
there's not many of them.
Well, Stepdad was a Christmas movie.
That was a good
and
I
a
like
murderer.
I like that.
Black Christmas. Krampus is a good one.
Which one? Because they've done many.
The two newest ones are both solid, but the one called Krampus.
Which Spender's daughter
loves the newest
one. Loves Krampus.
And she's young as can be.
So there was one night we were at the softball fields, and there's like a grate for the sewer, and she's yelling down into it, Krampus!
And what's his name? Adam McKay or whatever's in that? That's got a lot of good people in it.
I saw them. They were legit.
Toni Collette is in it. I mean, it's a lot of good people in that. Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, I got to mention, have you seen Hereditary?
Not yet. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
To your audience, if you love a solid, and this one's got a bit, it's got paranormal, it's got definitely a horror factor, and then just a creep factor of like freaking 97 on a scale of 1 to 10. Go watch Hereditary 2018, Toni Collette.
Well, I want to say that it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I want to say it was massively good.
And we're late to the game. It was 18, and it came out
in early 19 in theaters.
Okay, so it was pretty late. Yeah. But I remember I was finally going to watch this movie.
Yeah.
I got to admit, it is one of the more unsettling movies I think.
I would love to watch. Okay. I was going to bring it up to you that we were going to watch.
Just once things finally start happening, and, you know, it's a little bit, but you're just like.
It's one of those scary movies that came out recently.
Am I going to need a Xanax to watch it? Is that what you're telling me? Because sometimes I'm like, I can't handle this.
Movies
suspense.
Don't usually do that to me, and I'm telling you.
Oh,
well, apparently.
Well, if it doesn't do that to you,
I know,
it will
to
me.
Because shilling is something. But I'm telling you, it's just. Wait, because you start getting desensitized. Like, okay, it's another slasher. He's running around, pardon me, with a knife. Or, the ghost is coming out the wall. But this one's just messing with you.
It's in the same vein. It came out, and it was kind of the same. Acclaim is like The Witch.
Yeah, and, I like that too.
And there's a handful. Brightburn with the Superman one.
Did you see it?
I have not.
It's I think you're a solid first watch. I think you're gonna enjoy it, especially taking the dark side of a superhero. But a lot of people gave it a lot of crap.
It Follows was another one of those that like just that? Oh, I loved It Follows. I think it works to me too as a
there was a message. So to me,
we've watched
like,
it.
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as
an allegory for STDs. I think that
I love how they shot it in the what was that late 70s, 80s frame, which by any movie they
but it was a 90. I mean, but it was a modern movie that filmed in that style.
It started modern, but then they backed. I don't know if you realize it. Maybe they did it so subtly, but they're not in the same time frame from when they start the movie. With the girl she runs, she's running from her house. And look at the cars, look at the settings.
Okay.
They're not in the same year.
So they want you to know. They want you to know how long this thing's been going.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the end, they're like holding. Let's say a couple characters are walking along or whatever, and then it kind of ties in again to that how long it's been going.
I thought they did a good job for an unseen monster. I thought they did really good with the effects.
Yeah, because
in the water,
and it's a different kind of. Yeah, anyways, it's good movie. Spoil it. Go watch that damn movie.
I tell you what, we're sitting at an hour. Let's go one more round and do.
Oh no, so we can not do the last round, and we can do what Schilling and I were going to talk about.
Well, let's do both. Let's do both. We get one more round. So I saw the amount of your list.
Halloween, baby. We're going to
come up with your best one. What's your favorite?
Well, I've already had my best ones. I don't even remember.
The best one that you wrote down on your list today. Not best one, because it's hard. There's so many good ones.
Okay. This one, I wouldn't call it super obscure, but being that I love Halloween as much as I do and Jamie Lee Curtis, I brought up Prom Night.
Oh, that's a good one. Now, you know what? So,
which I didn't see until later years.
That may be one of the best at bridging what is a B movie and a theatrical release, because it got released because it had Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, was that when she finally was somebody?
But it was not a great movie, and it was very low budget. It was almost like it was probably an obligation to the studio.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it wasn't definitely a favorite, but it's just like one of those that I get to watch finally in later years because there's so many of them out there. But I was just kind of like, and there's a dance scene with Jamie Lee Curtis at the end, and it's like legit, like she's like on the dance floor getting after it, like with all those 70s moves. And I just thought that was very impressive. I just like, hey, this is pretty
cool.
She's
got moves.
And true, by the end of the movie, did I feel like just completely satisfied? No, but it was just kind of, again, seeing that old 70s horror and what they're all about.
I don't always feel satisfied after like a horror movie. I always expect more than I actually get most
Building
of the time. Yeah. But speaking of Jamie Lee Curtis, I watched Halloween. Jeremy was at a golf fundraiser yesterday. My oldest was with her dad. The youngest was on her phone. So I was like, I'm just going to watch Halloween.
Okay.
It was late afternoon. And it came to the end where, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis is like screaming, screaming, screaming. And we have a puppy. We have a puppy. And when I say puppy, he's a little over a year old. But when she started screaming, he looked at the TV and cocked his head.
Oh, no, to the side.
And he was like, what the hell?
That's why she was a scream queen.
Yeah.
Did you
know? And I tried to get it on video, but I couldn't. Because then for a dog, very aware of when a phone points at him.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
That's
but, awesome. He did it. And he was like, what is going on? And he watched the TV for a few minutes. He's like, is something happening? And I was like, yeah.
Due to the low-budget nature of Halloween and everything else, do you know there were over 5 people that actually played Michael's character in that Halloween
first movie?
And Deborah Hill was one of them.
I'll be darned.
When they can see when they're looking across the street and he's standing in the doorway of, I guess it would be the Doyle house or something? No.
One of the houses.
Not the one that Lori was babysitting, but the one that Annie and everybody else was in. But when he's just standing, the figure standing, due to timing and just they didn't have a person on set.
They just had to put someone
Deborah
over there.
Hill pretty much stood in there. Deborah Hill was the, I think, girlfriend at the time of John Carpenter.
I'll be darned.
And there who wrote Halloween together.
That's funny.
And I guess because it was a far, the camera was set far, you don't know that it's a woman, which usually
some
is
people,
a shorter person.
Some people don't like that kind of stuff. They don't like knowing all the background. They feel it ruins it. I think after I've seen it so many times, it almost heightens, like, because I'm like,
wow. You're like, wow, this is a fun fact. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's your...
I don't have any more. I actually have already...
Well, then, I tell you what, then we'll go to my last one. It's one of my favorite, and it's a lot like Slither in sense that it was called Night of the Creeps, and it was one of my favorite as a kid, and it's all about the town is affected by this leech-style monster, but it gets inside your body and goes into your brain and creates you like a zombie-like person. But you end up having to kill, you know, I mean...
Can they still think for themselves?
No, you're in charge. You are almost a zombie, but it was on Prom Night or something. And it's just a good movie, and these little little creepy things.
Weird prom night, like why?
Yeah, you gotta pick an event. You know, Halloween, Christmas, prom night. I
mean, good. So the poster was good. News is, oh no, I'm sorry. It was a college formal. Good news is your dates are here. Bad news is they're dead. No. So it's cheesy as can be.
No, yeah, is it a female and male lead?
Yes, thing? And you had to burn them in order to kill them.
Oh.
But again, but the monsters, again, there was some, like for the time, there were some big names.
And when was that movie? The 80s?
Oh, gosh, yeah, early.
So what if you didn't smoke? Perfect. Like, how do you burn them?
1986. But like guys like David Painter, who you know David Painter, that guy there.
Absolutely.
Tom Atkins, who was another fairly big actor to be in
it. That was the main character, that first guy?
No, but Tom Atkins is in it. Oh, so yeah. there was people you knew.
Tom Atkins, he was in Halloween 3.
He was, yeah. There was people you knew in all these movies, especially, or in this movie in particular.
I like when I can see the face. You know, because you're like, that guy's all right. You know,
yeah,
that guy's
okay.
Or that gal's
but
okay.
There, so to give you an idea, there's like... There's the psycho zombie, the alien zombie.
Ooh, oh,
and so there were different kinds of, like, wow. Inexplicably in it. Like,
even though they're turning people over.
Yeah,
still...
so it made sense
all
for
right.
The movie. But it's, it was as cheesy as it gets.
Right?
According to IMDb, it's like 30 on the list of greatest. Interesting note to that is on IMDb's list, inside the top 25, Murder Party checks in.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's impressive. That's
not
impressive.
Bad, not
so
bad.
You mentioned about in a segue a while ago about something we would move over to, and I will let you guys talk a little bit about it because I haven't watched it. In fact, I haven't watched the last couple seasons. But American Horror Story 1984 should be in my breadbasket. You watched it, and I don't mind you watching without me. That
well,
been
you
one
knew
that,
haven't wanted to watch the last couple seasons, so I'm like, I just pulled the trigger for myself.
Sure.
What's his? What's the creators of AHS? Is same guy that created. He created also Glee. That's
really?
Yeah. And he's very wealthy because of his shows that he's created.
Doubt.
But he's got a flamboyant style to his shows. And it started okay with the first one, and it's just worn on me over the years.
So I haven't seen any seasons. So let me put that out there.
Okay. Well, this
And right, because each season is just its own standalone.
Well,
right?
Except last season.
Oh.
It crossed over.
It ties Murder House and some other ones.
Oh damn! Well, I guess I should have saw that.
Well, I shotgunned last season while he was out of town a couple weeks ago because I hadn't watched it. So I shotgunned it and then watched the first two episodes of this season all in one weekend while he was gone.
Nice. Well, that's a binge if you could ever do it. But I've never seen American Horror Story. And, of course, everybody's like, Mike, what the hell? I mean, this should be totally
for sure. Like the season one, for sure.
And I need to probably go back and revisit some. But 80s, anything 80s style, you might as well just go ahead and sign me up. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to rock and roll, especially if it's got thriller and horror. And, so when I started this out and... You know, I gotta be honest. The intro alone, I look forward to that so much, just because I love that
it's
kind of
so...
menacing, and they got the aerobics going and all
that
stuff.
Yes,
oh, it's great.
So it's very similar every season. The song, I feel like the song for the intro is kind of the same, but they just change it up a little bit for the theme of the season.
Right.
So yeah, they kind of make this a little more 80s like electronic sounding.
And it was
stuff.
And it's great. And they got the blood splatter coming on. I mean, I just look forward to the intro.
Yeah.
And then, but they what I love about this, and I know that's American Horror Story style, but you got all these little what do you want to call them? Like these random, like, oh, you thought it was this, but now it's...
Yes. Oh, they do that a lot. They'll throw multiple... Because I've seen, four seasons with you? They'll throw multiple bad guys in it
that
seemingly don't even relate to each other, and most of the time they don't. It's just weird.
I like is, and they do this a lot, is they throw in real people in the show. So they threw it...
So who was the real one? Is it one of the aerobics people?
Ramirez in this one.
Is he really Richard Ramirez in this? Because after this last episode, I watched them, did they call him Richard? They called him the Night Stalker, in which...
Yeah.
So, okay.
And they did the Zodiac Killer
all,
one year.
Oh, good point. You're
this
right.
is all...
Okay.
You know, if you haven't watched it and you're planning to, sorry. But you know how he attacks
the young girl.
Yeah. And she was like, I was attacked by the Night Stalker. That's Richard. The Night Stalker is Richard Ramirez.
But after
the episode that you and I both, the last episode you and I both watched, I was like, is he really? Because now I'm a little torn.
Yes.
The way it happened. But before they've done, they touched on the Black Dahlia before. Okay. They have, what else have they done here?
So
oh, the
they've
Salem
done,
Witches. And
Ed Gein. They've done Ed Gein. They've done Miranda and Bridget Jane, which were two female serial killers. They did John Wayne Gacy, sorta.
Okay.
They did John Patrick March, who was H.H. Holmes in The Hotel.
Yeah, they've done a lot of
it's
that.
A lot, yeah.
Which, but
Madame Delphine, LaLaurie, the New Orleans one, she was the,
yeah.
And that was who it was. It was what's her name's character, Kathy Bates' character.
Because they use similar actors, right? For mm-hmm. every, or excuse me, sometimes the same.
Yeah,
actors,
like
right?
Evan Peters has been in almost every.
They've done Lizzie Borden.
I think that's cool because then you get to see them with a whole other face to them, right?
So the last season. So
Eileen Wuornos was in the New Orleans RN Hotel.
Who was the older lady that was in the original season?
Gosh darn it!
You were gonna say Angela Bassett.
She is
also in the series at some point.
Oh, I'll tell you in a second. Keep going with it.
But they brought her back for the because she ran a bunch of seasons, like 4, 5, 6, something like that, and then she stopped. Just like us.
She won a Golden Globe for the first one.
Really?
Yeah, she was very big.
That's great.
So I feel like Sarah Paulson.
Mm-hmm. Been in a bunch of them.
Yeah, she's been in a bunch, and I think she's not in this one. She's not in this season so far.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, and they probably won't at this point.
I think she's done. I think she's done because she ran so many of them, but I am enjoying.
Angela, oh, no, God damn it, go ahead.
I'm like, it's not Angela. But I am enjoying this season because it does bring it's very nostalgic for me.
They did nods to Friday the 13th. You got the camp. They did nods to a Halloween, the Saint Asylum with the people all outside. It's just those little things, and they're not copying. It's just like little nods to it. And I thought that was very well done.
The twist, though, is I loved the twist.
Far the twists are very, very solid.
I was like, oh, okay, wow.
Jessica Lange.
Oh, yeah, she's a great actress.
Yeah, she was in the first.
Cape Fear.
Two or three. Yeah, she was in. And by the way, if you want to know why American Horror Story appeals to you, Missy, let me read you Ryan Murphy's other shows in addition to Glee. Nip Tuck, The New Normal.
So
he did The New Normal.
Time Hop just told me the other day, I was like, oh, Nip Tuck season whatever just started, and I didn't even know it was happening. Yay.
They're doing it again?
No, this was Time Hop. It was 10 years ago.
But
and
he
I was
did
like,
the,
that show's been off for 10 years. But 10
wow.
to...
He did Glee, New Normal. He did The New Normal. That was that sitcom with the gay couple that we liked a lot.
I love that show.
It was very good.
His writing is up your alley.
I didn't watch Glee.
He did
ever.
Scream Queens. He did.
I didn't watch that one.
Scream Queens
popular. He did. What else has he done? He's done a show called Posse. Now he's on Netflix. And who knows? I mean, they signed him to a $300 million contract for 5 years of shows on Netflix.
Well, that sounds okay.
Yeah.
I mean. And clearly, he's got a lot of material in that brain, so.
Yeah. Oh, he did some movies, like The Town That Dreaded Sundown. We watched that.
The most recent one?
Yeah, he did that.
I just watched that, like, about a month ago, and I'd seen bits and pieces of the first one, but I was finally, it came full circle, and I was like, man, this movie's actually not that bad.
He also did Eat, Pray, Love. Who knew?
Do you know what it means if he's... Do you know what it means if he's got a lot of material in his head? He's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, he's got some demons, I bet.
So far, though.
Oh, maybe we should put him, like, if we did a celebrity death pool, maybe we should put him on. Maybe, like, the next 5 years.
Well, so far, knowing this season is 1984, and that kind of ties into our B-movie thing.
Yeah.
What do you consider, how well do you consider it this year, this season compared to the other? Is it a yay
it's
or nay?
It's entertaining enough for me.
It's the 80s factor that brings me in. Because, like I said, it's just like just little nods to like other things and other horror, which, again, have been done multiple hundreds of times. But I don't know, something about it. I'm just like, this is legit. And the music and then the little, you know, the synthesized tones and everything.
Yeah.
Brings you in. And it's just memories. And, you know, what I'd really like to know is I'd like to hear from like a younger person, like if they watched it since they did not experience the 80s in any way or form.
Yeah.
What would they be like? They're just like, or they're like, wow, this is intriguing. I want to know more about the 80s, or are they just like, this sucks? I'd be curious to know.
I would be too. I mean, they keep bringing the show back, so someone's watching it, which means a younger crowd is watching it. So,
or at least I finally jumped.
Didn't you say that there's like a hidden season?
They said a few years ago that there was a hidden season that they've made, and I think it was the Donald Trump season.
Huh.
I think that was the season that they made without telling anybody. Because they come out once a year, and then every once in a while they'll throw an extra one in.
Huh.
Yeah, I need so we'll have to look that up.
Yeah,
and then
curious.
The last year's the one you said that tied it all together. They'd been hinting at that one for a long time.
It only
too.
Tied two seasons together with that season.
According to Ryan Murphy, all of them are in the same universe, and every season has something that ties it to another.
Well, good luck trying to plug all that together.
There's always probably Easter eggs. I'm sure.
Somebody on Reddit has done it. I'm sure. Yeah.
But yes. I mean, but if you like a bit of cheese, but yet some awesome kill scenes. There was some great kill scenes. And the gore is definitely there.
It pushes the envelope too. What you can get away with. The Lady Gaga year there was nipple away from being a porn sometimes.
The Lady Gaga season. You should watch that.
Yeah. That's Hotel.
And I saw only one of the intros, but again, but I'm gonna go back.
Without ruining it, one of the cool things about Hotel is on Devil's Night, all of the world's most famous notorious serial killers show up to have a dinner.
Yeah, they're, it's like the Last Supper, but for serial killers.
It's all their ghosts.
Yeah.
So they all show up to have it.
But they're
tangible for one night, so they get someone there to murder.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. So we are certainly over time. Well, quote unquote over time for as much as we get now.
Who doesn't love Halloween?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best time of year.
If people don't,
if you don't, yeah.
Suck a butt.
Yeah, definitely don't. Yeah.
You agreed. I heard it.
So we had
you spelled out a curse word earlier. So.
I did, and I knew you should watch that. We got affiliates here, so hey, we'll keep it clean.
Affiliates here? Shamrocks?
Oh.
Fuck. Yeah, say what you want to say.
I've never heard it. Kyle's curse.
We had a couple one time.
Kyle's old podcast, they dropped some F-bombs and stuff.
I just
so
love
how,
literally, Jeremy, I got to love you, man, because you come back to me every October, and like he texts me just out of the blue, even though, and we filmed not too long ago, but he's like, Mike, it's October, which I was thinking about, and I was going to text you, but you beat me to it.
Oh, yeah, I've told you this a million times, and I'm not signing this off yet because we always throw it to Missy to see what we got going on.
Sure.
But you always have an open invite to be on the show whenever you want to be on the show.
It's fine.
Every October just happens to be pinned in, not penciled in.
I love,
and I'm fine with that. That
I
awesome.
Love that you can talk because Bender's not here to
interruptions.
So.
No interruptions. And I will say this about Hummel too. He we did do this on Sunday so he'd be here and then he couldn't make it. And I get it because he's leaving town this week. I am as well.
I see.
But I also think there was a little bit in the back of his head and said, I don't do horror movies and I don't do B movies.
What I'm hearing is Tom's too scared. He's scared of scary movies.
It's just not up his alley.
You know what? That's fair, though, because if you guys said, Mike, we really want you, but I mean, we're going to be talking sports, we're going to be talking, beer making, I'm going to be like, well, I'm going to be really quiet and just do some chuckling in the background because
Hikus. That is Hikus. Yeah, that's one of our best friends.
And I think you should, but it's hard, though, because if you're supposed to be a normal on the show,
love to be. So I knew two things going to this. It was Halloween, so that meant Mike chilling, and it was B-movies, and that's right into my wife's wheelhouse.
Yeah. I would say for me, it's almost even with B-movies and slasher movies. Like, those are my top two B-slashers. Horror.
That's kind of what we did today.
Yeah.
Oh, High Tension. You want a B-movie slasher? High Tension's
I didn't realize
French
it was
film.
An original before the European one that they did.
Yeah, yep.
Which was very also.
That's an axe murder, what they considered a hatchet film.
Okay.
And that's one of the most brutal hatchet scenes ever. That's a brutal, brutal film.
I've not seen it.
Yeah. Oh,
you don't like foreign films as much.
That's true.
And I don't either. And I don't, because I don't usually like to deal with the subtitles. But I'll tell you, you might want to check.
It's a good one. I watched it back when
intense.
I did see it on the list when I was trying to get inspiration.
It's a good
High
one.
Tension.
But you said the original, though?
I've seen them both,
American.
Yep. Yeah, so when I worked back in Springfield at V-Stock, when I was we used to watch all those movies when they'd come in the store. So,
sure.
Yeah, good movie. But Missy, before we close it out, let's just throw it to Missy. You got anything extra to talk about today?
Nine.
That would be German, which has got to be good for – you know what? That's a good good little segue. I will say this. We've talked about this in the podcast before, but if I have a throw it to Missy thing, I was thinking about wanting to watch this again if it was free instead of – we paid for it last time. Overlord –
The WWE 2?
It was the experiments?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
That was a good
That
movie.
Was a combination of a pretty solid war movie and an incredibly good a sci-fi horror movie.
I did a pretty solid job.
I don't typically like sci-fi, and I typically am already, as soon as Jeremy's like, let's watch this movie, and I'm like, eh.
It was an enjoyable movie front to back.
That's my go-to,
I will say
it
before
it was
you
good.
Jump out of it. The very, very end. Bothered the shit out of me. I don't know. It was the whole we got it done and everything's cool and now we're just gonna get back to it. It felt a little too bright that I just felt after all that.
I could see that.
But by the way, maybe it was meant to be that way. But again, I guess I was just after all that, I was thinking to myself, maybe a little bit more devious, like, ooh, maybe Overlord 2, I don't know.
Oh,
maybe yeah. Vietnam yeah. or some yeah. shit. Oh, there it is again.
It'd be a good one. That'd be a good yeah. yeah.
Right? But it was anyway, a good, but I'm not going to down movie. The movie. It was a great movie.
And Germans know how to be scary.
The effects and
Am
stuff.
Am I scary?
And when that guy finally comes, like, the first time he comes back, and he's oh, like, yeah. I'm thirsty.
Oh, when he wakes up, and that, like, yeah, that was awesome.
And they're all looking at him like, man, I mean, they get, and the dude kind of, just the little things, he raises his gun, you know, just,
yeah,
just watch
it's a good movie.
Anyways,
it's
check it out.
A good movie. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that is a J.J. Abrams production company. Yeah.
Not directed, but.
But yeah, but so there was some
Happy
money,
robot
but, there was some Bad Robot.
Bad Robot.
Bad
Thank
Robot.
You.
There was some money behind it. So,
yep.
Anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Hey, it's always a pleasure coming on here and talking Halloween movies. Great topic, Missy, because I know we were kind of scratching our heads coming up with something, which we.
It was a very good one.
It was solid.
You know, it's good when there's very little research goes into it and we talk for an hour and 5 minutes about it.
Well, there's so much material, you know, but I like it. It's one that can be repeated even. So, that's awesome.
All right. Well, I don't think there's no Tom. There's no.
But hold on. Do you want to just throw out your information?
One more time.
You can go to the website, that's www.deadnightmare.com, or you can check out Z-Man Show on YouTube. Those are the best ways, and Z-Man Productions on Instagram. So you can get out there. Obviously, we have episodes 1 through 6, but we're going to be filming 7 in November. We also have some other fun shorts that are going to be coming too, so make sure to come and visit us.
Yeah, check them out. And no Tom, no Bender. Missy.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, Mike, for coming in again.
Later, beeps.
All right. That was a good time.
Yeah.